Our scripture reading for today is 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 through 23. Listen now to the word of the Lord. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines, and broke through the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jebna, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities in the territory of Ashdod, and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians, who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and cut out many cisterns, for he had large herds, both in the Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war, in divisions according to the numbers and the muster made by Jael the secretary and Maaseiah the officer on the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of the fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord, who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead and in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. I get to... This is not my first sermon at Graceway. Let me just situate myself a little bit. This is not my first sermon at Graceway, but this is my first in a series. So I'm jumping into the series K-Drama, and it's not obviously, we've been saying it over and over again. It's not, you know, K-drama like the ones that we watch, but instead it's kingdom drama. And we've been moving through the southern kings of Judah. I'm actually really excited to be joining in on this particular series because when I was in seminary, I had a professor that brought this section of the Bible really alive for me, and to the point where I actually considered becoming like an Old Testament scholar, like getting a doctorate in Old Testament. And then I found out I have to learn 7 languages, and I was like, ooh, I don't know. But I actually love this piece of the Bible, and I know that we read a huge chunk of the Bible today. I really recommend reading actually this part of the Bible in big chunks. It reads beautifully almost like a novel. There's a lot of twists and turns, and this is why I actually love the Old Testament in general. Another reason why I love the Old Testament is because the people of God in the Old Testament are portrayed, or like you can see the entire character of the person, and they're not so packaged neatly. The stories are a little messy. The people at many times are a little bit messy, and I kind of take comfort in that because in my own faith and in my own life, many times it's very messy. And instead of seeing, I see these chosen instruments of God, and I see how God uses them still, chooses them still, and still sees them through to the end. So I see the redeeming heart of God, and I see a God who loves us so much that he wants to save us. And I don't want to see a God that punishes, but instead I see this beautiful love story. And we're kind of like now in about halfway through the series. We've done about like half of the Southern Kings. I actually have a visual. I know Pastor Dave doesn't use slides, but I wanted to show you a little, show you this thing. If you have a child in Graceway Elementary, your child has seen this. When we went through the section of the kings, I showed this to them. It's sometimes nice to be able to see all the kings in one shot. As you can see, King Uzziah is like right around the middle, right there. But you can see the northern kings. If you ever read through this section of the Bible, the north kings are under Israel. If you see the keyword Israel, you know they're a northern king. And if you see the name Judah, they're usually a southern king. And this part of the Bible can get a little bit like dicey because they're all like the stories are all intermingled with one another. So it's really nice if you read the Bible through and especially this section, if you have like a table like this, there's some that are really more complex and then they have like even the prophets that go along with the kings too. But this is K-drama for sure, and sometimes really confusing. So you kind of have to pay attention. If you've ever tried reading, I've tried reading The Lord of the Rings, and there's like this section where they're all going through the woods and they're meeting all these different people groups, and that's where it lost me, and I just couldn't finish. But this section of the Bible, again, when you're reading through these kings, it can be a little bit like that. You read and you meet all these different groups of people, a lot of names. And so it's nice to have like kind of like a learning tool, let's just say a chart like this to kind of have next to you if you're reading. And again, I do recommend you reading in big shots. And I'm glad we were able to read the entire section on King Uzziah. Today, again, we're going through just the southern kings. And you have kings with a lot of similar names. You have like people that are like of different ups and downs that have similar names. And like our king today, King Uzziah, he actually also is known as Azariah. So it's kind of, yeah. The entire arc of the story that leads into the kings is that God, he chose a people. He set them apart and he said to them, I want to be your God. And he said, you will be my people. But the people in their sin, they reject him and they kind of basically say no. And then they say, we want a leader. We want, you can take this slide down. They said, we want a leader. We want a leader. They reject God. And so God sends them, the people. He sends them leaders like Moses. He wasn't enough. He sends them judges. they're not enough. And then God sends prophets, they're not enough. And then finally he sends kings and more prophets. And here we are in the story today. We've gone through quite a number. And as Pastor Dave mentioned, before you can see that there's a lot of repetition in this section. There's the stories, literally, you can feel like you're reading the same story over and over again. Because you see that earthly kings, they fall short. They fall and they fail. And this is why we needed a savior. We needed Jesus, this ultimate savior, and that only Jesus could only do what these earthly kings could not. And this is our story of today. You see the mention of King Uzziah in five passages in the Old Testament. The two main sections that you can read of this king is in 2 Kings 15, where he is referred to as Azariah, so don't be confused if you read that. And then the Second Chronicle passage that you see today. He starts his time as the king of Judah at the age of 16, basically a child, and then he reigns for 52 years. So when Pastor Dave was asking me, he said, which king do you want to preach on? He gave me a choice. And I responded, oh, I want a king with like a juicy story. I'm not exactly sure what that meant to me, but I knew that I wanted to preach on a king that had a longer reign. And I think it's because there's a lot more detail if you span somebody's, like, decades of somebody's reign versus, you know, some of the kings that we did were a little bit shorter and their reign has a little less detail. So there's about two things that I want you to, like, maybe keep in the back of your mind as we're going through today. Maybe two points or important lessons that we'd like to glean from King Uzziah's story. The first one is little steps make a big difference. That's the first one. And the second one is that community is really important, okay? So when I watch things on, like, you know, Netflix or whatever, I go through seasons where I like certain things. And there was a season where I was really into survival shows. And so my show back in the day was Bear Grylls' Man vs. Wild. You guys know that show? Yeah. And so I feel like I liked that show because you learn a lot of things. And one of the things I learned about survival navigation is that if you're trying to, like, walk in a straight line without using a fixed point, what happens to you? You end up actually making a giant circle, and that you end up coming back to where you are trying to get away from. And it's because we have, like, a dominant side, and so you don't see it for a while, but eventually your dominant side will take over, and you end up making, like, a giant circle, and you end up back where you began. And so it's really important when you're navigating through somewhere that you've never been before, you follow something fixed. And a lot of times they'll use stars or if you have a GPS. But when surviving in the wilderness, in the wild on your own, every step and choice you make can be the difference between surviving and not surviving. And in the Bible, there's many lives of God's people that are recounted in very many details. If you're reading along with us in the Bible reading, we're in 2 Samuel right now, and King David, we've been in King David for quite some time if you've been reading along, and there's so much detail about this king. You can see the span of his reign, and you can see all the little nitty-gritty details of his life. But again, we're in a series where you get to see short and long. And even a few kings back, we have Ahaziah, and again, that sounds similar, right? Ahaziah, who reigned only for a year, so there's, like, not much detail about him. But this passage about King Uzziah begins in, like, the usual chronicler fashion. You get an intro to Uzziah, you get his mother, you get his age, you hear about his attending prophet, and then, which was Zechariah. Then it moves into this overall summary statement of his reign. So it says, he does right in the eyes of God, like his father, and it goes into what warrants this statement. What does it mean? So one of the jobs of the kings of this time was not just administrative. They were actually, kings were there to be military leaders. And their success as a military leader was what ensured the survival of God's people. And Uzziah, King Uzziah, was a very detailed, excellent military leader. He broke down the walls of the enemy, and there's a lot of names that are listed, but he broke down the walls of the enemy. He rebuilt towns in strategic places. He built towers in strategic places, and then he fortified those places as well. He built towers in the wilderness for the just in case. He planned for water sources outside of the main cities just in case, and also for his livestock. He amassed a huge number of people into his army, and then he trained them properly. He gave them proper equipment, and then he made weapons of mass destruction to sit on top of his walls. And so because of that, his fame grew far and wide. A lot of people knew him. I think that if I was an Israelite at the time, I probably would have been a very proud one, because I'm serving under such an able king. He was a king that thought of little and big things when it came to physically fortifying God's city and people. And Uzziah did all these military things. He spent so much detail and energy to physically fortify the city. And notice I keep saying the word physically. You can see his effort to protect and bring safety to his people. You can physically see his efforts to sustain his people. But guess what? His downfall is not in the physical world. While he built up these things that he could see, you could see them with your eyes, and they're all necessary things. This was the job of a king to do. They were necessary things to preserve the life of the people, and it made him a good king. Yet he neglected the things of the heart. And Prophet Samuel says this perfectly when he's choosing a king, the first king. He said, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but where does God look? He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart." So little steps make a big difference. We spend so much time building stable, comfortable lives. We diligently plan our futures from the school that we go to, the major that we study. We climb corporate ladders and switch jobs to secure our 401ks. We rent homes or buy homes that give us a sense of security and safety. We have children and try to create a world around them of abundance and provision. And we exercise regularly and go to the doctor for our physical health to stay healthy in our life. And these are all good and necessary things. But how, church, are you cultivating your heart? How are you pressing into the things of the Lord? In verse 16, you kind of see the shift happen, okay? The chronicler then, he states the demise, okay? That's a little harsh of a word, but he uses the word the downfall of King Uzziah. It says, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God." His reliance in the beginning, it doesn't last. And then in the end, you see his disobedience. He tries to do something he knows is wrong, and then he gets punished, right? At this point in the passage, I wish I got to read Uzziah's diary. You get a glimpse into like a portion of his life, this grand outward portion, because the chronicler records that portion. But we miss the really important little details, the inner life of what was happening to King Uzziah. He was a king of Judah for 52 years. That's a long time. That's 5 decades. I haven't even been alive for 5 decades yet. So it's pretty long. And something along the way made his heart change. Something went awry, right? So the little things matter to God. He doesn't take away the high places, and he makes a lot of compromises that lead to, and then this was his downfall, a proud heart. He was proud. So the little things matter to God. You see the big statement of pride that brings him down, but you don't see all the little micro steps along the way that got him there. All the micro compromises he makes in his heart and in his actions. It's like the steps we take, thinking that we're walking in a straight line, but in fact, we're making a giant circle that circles right back to the same place. You don't see the recording of the days, the weeks, the months of those 52 years that actually, that time that led him away from the Lord. You may say the big things, but I guarantee there was so many thousands of little micro compromises away from the heart and the will of the Lord. And then he ends up on the doorstep of a temple that day. Where are your micro steps taking you guys? Where? What are the compromises that you make in your heart and actions on a daily basis that lead you away? Those little things, they add up, and they have a way of becoming a big deal when you least expect. And this is another lie that is told to us. You can't stand still either. There's no way. There's no such thing as standing still. So what do you do along the way? The little moments that stack into days and weeks and months, they really matter. So I have like a weekly mom's FG. We meet, and so we split up our time. We do a little bit of movement. We eat together, and then we do Bible study. And we rested over the summer break because, you know, we have different schedules. And so we finally got back together. And then some of the ladies were saying like, oh, I haven't exercised since the last time we had mom's group. And one of the things I always say to them, I was like, you guys need to move your joints, like every joint, a little bit every day. A little bit goes a long way. Because if you don't move certain joints, maybe a day, a week, a month is not a big deal. But imagine a year, 5, 10 years of not moving a certain joint. Let me tell you guys, it's a use it or lose it kind of thing. And so I always say, hey, little bit goes a long way. And the same thing goes for the things that we can't see, but the things of our hearts. So the little things matter to God. This leads to my second point. Doing those micro steps towards God is actually very difficult. It's really hard to do. This is why our faith journey is described as a long race. Paul describes it as like a marathon. And if you've ever been a runner, I know that there's a group of people running races today, but it's very difficult to do on your own. And when you do it in a community, like a group of people, and this way run races in groups, whatever, it's actually much easier. And God knew that. And so he set up this amazing thing called the church. It's not a building, right? Church, as in he set up this amazing thing called church, the people, the real church. So your community is so important. I can imagine how lonely it was to be the king. There was no one higher than the king. The entire nation was dependent on this one person. There's nobody else. And that's a lot of pressure to take on. This is, you know, just my imagination rolling, but it was probably really, really lonely. Everyone around you is subordinate to you. Whatever you say kind of goes. And everybody's serving you hand and foot. And as a mom, that sounds super glorious. But imagine being a king. It could feel suffocating or lonely and isolating because nobody's higher than you and you can do whatever. So, and then imagine friends, friendships as a king. He probably had little to none, and the people that draw close to him were probably people that wanted to glean off of his authority and power. So you kind of don't even know who your friends are. So he probably just was very lonely. But God, he was wise, and he made a system, a checks and balances system at that time, and he made a system of priests and prophets that were there to help the king, okay? All the kings, every single one of them throughout the Bible, had priests and prophets serving with them. Zechariah is named at the beginning of, you know, King Uzziah's reign, and then later at the end, it's Isaiah. But yeah, there was priests and prophets there. And God set the system up like this because he knew that one person, it's very difficult to do this alone. But when Uzziah enters the temple to burn this incense, who was there to confront him? Azariah the priest, and 80 under, they name him as courageous priests were there. So his church community was there. And they maybe they're not his friends per se, but they were a community of people that sought after the will of the Lord consistently, and they were willing to call King Uzziah out when he was doing something wrong. If you read back on the verses, it said, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, it's not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by the Lord God. You need a community, and not just any community. You need a community of believers, and you need a church community. In our world today, we make ourselves rulers over our own lives, my way or the highway. But that was not God's design. There is a communal component in our faith journey, and you need to allow the community to be a part of your story. So in the end, the downfall happens as Uzziah gets angry. He takes his incense in, and then leprosy starts to break out. And because of that, again, if you look at laws of that time, when you have some sort of skin disease, you're not allowed to enter the temple. And he leaves immediately, and he lives the rest of his life separate, because once you are ceremonially unclean or you have leprosy, and again, we don't know what kind of skin disease he had, but he had it till the day he died, and he lived separate, and he was separated the whole time. That was the end. And in the end, he was not remembered as a king that did what's right in the Lord. Instead, he was remembered as a leper king, leprous king. Uzziah, this earthly king, tried to do the thing that only Jesus could do. Military might could only take Uzziah so far. And yet you see the limitations of a human king. They can only go so far, and they can only do so much. They can do part, but not the whole. And then you see this pattern over and over and over again. And we get to read about the kings. And again, I really encourage you, try it in one shot. Their entire history is a cautionary tale of what disobedience looks like and what disobedience leads to. And even when we read this history, because we have the advantage of getting to read these stories, and they always say that hindsight is 20/20. And when you read the failures of God's people, the sad part is we actually don't learn well from them, because if we learn from history, our society would get better and better, right? But, you know, so we need to start to... if we did actually learn from our mistakes, there'd be no need actually for Jesus. If we did, were able to, again, do the right thing in the Lord, there would be no need for us to have a Savior. The truth is, we can't do it on our own. We can't earn it. We can't make it up. We can't try to go around it or conjure it. We need a Savior. And this is why we need Jesus daily. So, what does this look like practically speaking in our daily lives? So, I want to encourage you guys to walk in this new diligence. Maybe everybody's going to be sparked a little bit differently, and this is why I feel like the Lord is so amazing. You can read one story, and people will glean different things. And so however the Lord is stirring you, maybe you're somebody that's like, oh, I really want to pray more. This is the discipline I want to grow in more. You don't have to pray for an hour to grow in prayer. Maybe just a minute, right? Little steps, tiny ones. Maybe just one thing extra. Maybe you want to grow in reading the Bible more. You don't need to, and you know, like we've been doing that Bible reading thing, they send you an email every single day. The 2 Samuel passages have been really long. Do you guys agree? Sometimes I'm like, whoa, this passage, this chapter is really, really long. It doesn't even have to be a chapter. If you want to grow in the things of the Lord, and you're just like, I just want to read the Bible every day, my son uses a Bible app. One verse pops up every single day on his phone. just one verse a day, wherever you are in this. Or maybe you're somebody that's really diligent already and walked in seasons of reading chunks and chunks of Bible, then maybe the Lord is calling you to read larger chunks of the Bible in one shot. Or maybe the Lord is calling you into fellowship. And he keeps putting on your mind this one person. He's just like, hey, invite that person over to dinner. And then you're thinking in your mind, oh, that's so awkward. I haven't talked to this person in a long time, whatever. But maybe the Lord is encouraging you that way. So the best thing that you can do is, however the Lord is stirring you, just respond. And it doesn't have to be this grand gesture. The little things matter to the Lord. One step in the right place, walking towards God. And it's not so that we're like doing things for God, right? It's so in obedience, and then also obedience to the word. When the word stirs, you have to respond. The other thing too is allow this community in. This community has been set up by God so that we can sharpen one another. We're here to spur one another on. And even though you might not be best buddies with everybody, you won't be. That's really unrealistic. But I know that if I called somebody and I said, hey, I really need this kind of prayer, I'll know that that person will pray for me. And that's the kind of community that you need. And when they see you and they're willing to say, hey, how are you doing? And call you out when they see certain things going awry. And this is what you need. You need to allow the community in. I'm going to pray for us today. That's it. Maybe the Lord is calling you into something, and maybe you're not. And maybe you're in the place where you're like, Lord, I don't even desire for the things of you yet. I don't even know what to pray for. And so that's your beginning place. Lord, wherever we are in our spiritual walks, however you're stirring us today, Lord, may we be sensitive to hear and then also have the courage to step forth. You don't ask us to be perfect. You ask us to just step in faith. And Lord, we pray that a community will come around us so that we really may sharpen one another and grow in your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're trying to do at Graceway. We know that what you're doing is good. And Lord, while it may seem like nothing is changing, everything is. Because Lord, you're a God that doesn't look on the outside, but instead, you look at the things of the heart. And we praise you that you are that kind of God. We thank you again for this beautiful Sunday. We bless those who sit in this space. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.